This is Parenting in the 21st Century. I'm Jonathan Little. I'm talking with Jeff Schott, who is the executive director of the Youth Transition Network. He's an author, researcher, counselor. I'm sure there's some unique stories you would have to share about real life experiences as a counselor. Oftentimes you present a seminar, there are people you follow up with later.
Yeah, I mean, we're constantly interacting with adolescents and with parents. And, you know, we find many situations where we're asked to step in and come alongside and help sort out some of the things that maybe have gone awry along the way.
Let's bring some guests in. We have a couple calling in from Orlando.
Yes. Jeff and Lisa, great to have you with us. How are you today?
We're doing fine. How are you today?
Doing very well. Really grateful for you calling in and being willing to maybe share with some parents some of your experience related to, you know, parenting. It's a challenge in the 21st century. And I know you've run into your own issues and would love just to have you share a little bit about how you've become familiar with myself, with the Youth Transition Network, and kind of why you kind of stepped into asking us to come alongside you related to parenting your kids.
We got to know and was introduced to Jeff and the Youth Transition Network several years back, and you know, listening to your ideas and wisdom as far as parenting. And you know, I remember thinking, you know, how wonderful it was that we were able to help all those people with passing along this wonderful words of wisdom, and never believing for a minute that we probably were the ones that needed to hear it the most. Fast forward about 4 years, and you know, I wish I would have listened a little closer.
What do you wish you would have heard and maybe started implementing, you know, 4 years back?
My daughter is 14 and my son has just turned 10. And so back then, you know, they were, you know, my little boy was a real little boy. And my daughter was, you know, at the very early preteen stage. And we were just kind of sailing along like many people do, thinking, you know, again, this is great wisdom for those people that really need it. And, you know, I think if I would have look back now, what I probably would do is, you know, pay attention to the fact that those parenting skills that were successful keeping, you know, my kids from running out in the street and getting hit by cars and things like that probably weren't going to deliver the best results for the children that are starting to want to make their own choices and going through the changes of adolescence. I probably should have listened better as far as how to change my parenting versus, you know, thinking that one size fits all, because I think that's what I did, and now I'm today suffering some of the consequences of that behavior on my part.
Hey, Lisa, as you look back and you think about, you know, when I sat at your dinner table and your daughter was 9 and she asked some of those amazingly deep questions that had you cringing, you know, we had some really good interaction at the dinner table that night related to faith and related to why she questioned the miracles. You know, as you look back and you think about the last 4 or 5 years, if you could go back in time, what would you do differently?
Well, I think the first thing is I did not realize that these children were going to so quickly have their own ideas and ways of doing it, whether I said so or not. I just assumed that I would always be the authority. As my husband Jeff said, when they were little, we were their authority. We were their world, and there was no parents that could just love their children as much as us. I quit a very successful, high-paying job to be a stay-at-home mom, and I poured so much love and everything into them, thinking that that would be the answer and that I would be the end-all and I wouldn't have to change. And that was probably my biggest mistake, when I didn't take the cues that you teach in these seminars, that when I look back, they were there. I just didn't pick up on what you were saying, Jeff, how my daughter and my son are chemically changing in their brain, called the adolescent brain, to actually resist some of the things that I thought I was doing so well in pouring the best that I had in them.
You know, fast forward 5 years go by and I get a phone call from you fill us in a little on you know, whatever you're willing to share related to some of the issues that have cropped up.
I probably still didn't get it at that point in time because, you know, I was reaching out to you to help you fix my daughter. I was the one that was very clear on the rules and the consequences that would happen when if my kids weren't following what we knew, because we were the adults that were the right things based on our mistakes and based on everything like that, to keep them out of, you know, out of the problems. You know, some of the things that we started sensing, and I just couldn't believe it. You know, my daughter, it would come home and she would rattle off that she's suffering from this depression and this potential food eating disorder and this and this. And I'm sitting here going, how in the world is that happening? You know, this, anybody would look at this person's life and they would say, what a blessed life you have. And I just, it didn't get through my head. So yeah, I reached out to you, Jeff, to have you come help fix my daughter. But again, the ones that needed fixing were Lisa and myself.
Yeah, I think that's the hardest part for us to realize, that there needs to be such a huge shift in the way we approach parenting as our kids get older. We develop habits very quickly, and those habits seem to work well when we're little, when our kids are little, 2, 3, 4, 5. But all of a sudden, you know, they start putting 2 and 2 together that, hey, maybe if I don't let mom know that I made this mistake, maybe I won't have this toy taken away. And I was kind of fascinated during the time interacting with your family related to, you know, talking with Tommy related to, you know, how he viewed some of the things that were going on in the family. And I know I related some of that to you. You know, what did you take away from what Tommy said in our time together?
You know, all of our you know, wisdom of saying, okay, you know what, you need to do this, or if you do this, you're going to, there's a consequence, okay? You're going to lose this favorite toy that you've been begging to have, and we're going to take it away. And, yeah, we were really good at taking it away. I even told my wife, I said, Lisa, we're not very good because we don't keep it away long enough. You know, we give it back. Yeah, and when you told me that, when you asked Tommy, when you spent time one-on-one with him, how he felt when the toys were taken away, you know, and his answer was, well, I, you know, what I felt was I hated my mom or I hated my dad. Well, do you remember what you had the toy taken away for? No, all I knew was I hated my mom and I hated my dad. And that was, you know, you might as well have thrown a glass of cold water on me. I did not expect to hear that. I would have thought, oh, you know, my son, you know, understands that he did this and this was the consequence. Well, I guess that's that, that's that changing in the brain that that I was not really cognizant of, and the effects that that would bring about.
It was kind of fun for me sitting there with him, honestly, because, you know, I was just asking the questions, trying to get him to identify, you know, where he was at, what was bothering him. And, you know, when he shared it, it was kind of in a resignation. It was kind of, this is the way it is. It's always going to be this way. There was no malice. There was no anger. It was just, yeah, what do you think about when the toys get taken away? I think about hating my mom. Well, do you think about anything else? No, I think about, well, and he thought, I think about the things that were taken away and hating my mom. Do you remember a single thing you did wrong on any of the instances things were taken away? He couldn't dredge up one. And I think, Lisa, I think the most poignant moment for me in relating that story to you was when I asked you that question. So could you reflect upon, you know, when I disclosed all of this to you and when I asked you the question, what he had done wrong?
Oh, the thing is, I didn't even remember what he did wrong. I was just so action reaction, and again, this is out of pure wanting to prepare our children for the world, because there are consequences to your actions. But it was just so black and white, and what we were doing as adults, and what we had always been raised with, my husband and I, much the same. It just I couldn't fathom that it wouldn't work and that he wouldn't understand what he did was wrong and correct his behavior, that he would just go to the emotion of hating me, because we're very close. Like I said, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I spend a lot of time with the kids. We have a lot of good times, a lot of fun. But underneath it all, I didn't realize all these things were just sizzling. And, they were just waiting for the other shoe to drop. And it's been such an eye opener. And basically, I catch myself all the time as this trying to implement the changes that Jeff, you were so kind to tell us we needed to do. And they were, it was difficult for me to look at myself. I wanted to change those children because I was preparing them for the world out of love. But I had to change myself and become the model that they looked at and said, okay, this is a safe home. The world is tough, and I'll learn my lessons, Mom, but I need a safe place to land. And that's where I'm morphing into and changing. And honestly, it's difficult, but I can see the light, and I am so relieved and so happy that you gave me permission to do this in my home.
So what are some of the changes you're making?
We have what's known as the reset button. You really have to get in sync, I think, husband and wife-wise. When things are getting tense in the house and we're starting to revert as parents back to our old ways, or even if the kids are, you know, copying us and yelling at each other or doing something, one of us will have the common sense out of the four of us, because we did talk to our children about these changes. We say, reset, hit the reset, and everybody just stops. And you want to keep going, and you want to get your last point in, but you have to. That's the rule of the game. You just stop, and you take a breath, and you rethink, really, what are we doing here? What's the big picture? We want to create love in this house. We want to create a place of mercy and kindness and things that the world doesn't really do good at giving our children. And let's really think about it and come back together. We're not perfect, but we're going in a good direction, and it feels really empowering and really good.
My takeaways and changes is, number one, listening a little bit more. Number two, and probably most important, and it's crazy from somebody who came up out of sales, is to learn to ask a few more questions rather than pontificate my wisdom, and try to help her or help my son get to the same point that I want them to get to, but having it being a part of their idea rather than me, you know, showing them how brilliant I am. And, that has worked, and that is something where I still lean on you because, Jeff, I think you're probably the best question asker of kids I have ever seen.
Since I was there, it's just a few weeks ago, what's happened in the relationships with your kids? I know that Tommy was pretty angry and sometimes even, I think, Lisa maybe unfortunately hitting you. And I know, you know, Jeff, your daughter was exceedingly distant from you and pretty antagonistic with you.
I would caution any parent listening to, you know, not do it on your own. I mean, this is something you got to do at home, but, you know, don't do it at home on your own without following a proven pathway that you've laid out in the implementation guide. And I was up bright and early studying the videos on your portal and you know, reading through the process and then literally following through. And candidly, you know, it starts with apologizing to your family, apologizing to your kids for the different things that, you know, recognize that you may have done out of love but incorrectly, that were taken totally, in your mind, totally out of context, but it happened, and that's the way they are. And it's that the apology first and then going through and actually, sharing the fact that we want to change the culture of our family. I went from having a pretty bad relationship, you know, with my daughter to where now we talk on a regular basis. And this is 3 weeks. We go for a walk around the lake. I mean, one of the issues that I was always concerned about, why is she spending all of her time in her room and on that damn phone? You know, it's just that phone is it's the devil. So rather than trying to manipulate and figure out a way to get that out of her hand and stuff like that, it's a matter of, you know, coming alongside and helping her realize that there are things, there's risks, there's stuff like that without, you know, making rules and then taking it away when those rules are broken. Our relationship is rapidly getting back to her being, you know, daddy's girl and being willing to share and work through the challenges that she is facing in a positive way.
So you're feeling a lot closer to her now, and that's great. Lisa, why don't you talk a little bit about, you know, the relationship change and how's it going with Tommy?
Well, the first thing I want to say is I have to give my husband just kudos, because when everybody's engaged in a family and you're all working toward a common goal and nobody's going to do it perfect, but you're all there for each other, my husband took the lead in this family and became a servant of all of us. And he actually started pursuing my daughter, my son, and my heart. And if Jeff, you know my Jeff, and he is probably the most non-emotional man. I've been married to him 35 years, and believe me, you know, he's a lot. He's sweet, he's fun, but emotions are not his high point. And I have seen more emotion in the last probably 3 weeks just from you know, pursuing us and opening our hearts, and then it's coming back to him. And there's some magic spinning in here. And so that sets the tone for that safety and that haven in the house where it's safe to be you, it's safe to be a kid, it's safe to be a teenager, and you're going to be accepted, and we're going to work through this. There's a comfort that has happened because everybody is working on the same page. We've had a family meeting, and we all came, and we discussed it, and the children were part of it, which empowered them. And what they said, it blew my mind. They came out with such profound things that it was like more than I could have probably taught them, because they were coming from their world. So what I've seen is a lot more open communication. I've seen more joy and laughter and maybe cuddling together and watching a movie together and things than I've had since they were just babies. It has been so encouraging to me as a mom, that I don't have to be perfect. I just have to be in the game.
Well, the family culture is changing, and you can hear it. You know, when we started the call, you were talking about where things were at, and now we're listening to where they are now, and just your voices have changed even in this time on the call. And so we know that it's having a profound impact. If you were to give one piece of advice to parents related to where they sit today, what would you tell parents to do now that you've been through this journey and you've actually, instead of just thinking it was a good message, you've actually started to implement the message in your home? What would you tell parents?
To recognize, especially if they're parents of children that haven't reached that preteen age, that it's coming and they need to be prepared to become, rather than the ruler, they need to be the coach and be prepared to help the kids through that. And the best preparation I know is to really get involved and participate in the Youth Transition Network. The material is there. And, you know, it, as I said, and realize and don't make the same mistake that I made, which was, wow, I want to help Jeff Schott get this message out, because this is a really good message for all those screwed up families that are out there that need this help. Realize that out of the blue, it can happen to you.
It will happen, because it's very complicated out there. And when you are with those little kids and you think you're doing such a great job, you cannot avoid what and pre-plan and protect them from what life is going to have to throw at them. Because my thing was, I was going to prepare them and tell them and prep them, and we were just going to kind of skate through this, mad world out there, and they were going to be good, strong kids because I put the best I could into them, and I was a good model, and they have their own little beings that, you know, their creator wanted them to be, and mine was to facilitate it. And I thought I was doing it right, but listen to the proven methods, go through, because you need a friend as a parent, and that friend is Youth Transition Network. It has instructional guides for you to lean on, but then you know what situation you've got, and it covers all situations. We're an adopted family. My husband and I are older parents. We had a multi-generational household at one time, so there was a grandma and all kinds of dynamics going on. We had some family losses. You don't know what's going to hit you, but things are going to hit you. Be prepared ahead of time for how you need to respond as these things are going on, not just try to skate by doing what you think's best.
Yeah, the secrets of influential parenting is what they're talking about. And that's the seminar and the DVD, the audio CD, as well as the online video portal we have at ytn.org that parents can join and get through the secrets of influential parenting and go through the implementation process videos that can bring about this type of change in your home. And that's really what brings me so much hope, Jonathan, is the fact that I'm seeing families that were basically in the process of a train wreck in a 3-week period turn relationships around and see community born and see joy and happiness start to be restored. And when that happens, what happens is our kids' hearts get restored. And the best thing I've seen is that every kid wants to please their parent. Every kid wants to achieve. Every kid wants to succeed. The problems come when through our expectations and our approach to parenting, they come to the conclusion that they're always falling short. And when we begin to change and we morph the culture of our homes, their hearts return to us very, very quickly. And behind that, their behavior changes. And then all of a sudden, you have the incredible ability to influence and to come in alongside them in the decisions they make. And because they want to succeed, I've found with all four of my kids and many, many, many more that I've coached, because they want to succeed, if we'll come alongside them in the right way, they'll make good decisions. It's when they're feeling oppressed that they run out and find things to escape into. And so sometimes the very things we think are going to protect our kids actually send our kids down the wrong road.
With the right coaching and mentoring, it's clear that there's transformative power here. There's transformative activity that can happen within a family. We want to thank Jeff and Lisa from Orlando for the great insights today. Thank you so much for being part of this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great day.